suffering is unavoidable. Let's face it, we live in a fallen world where pain and evil exist. But how we respond in times of suffering changes us forever. It'll either make us or break us. Question: are you and your children equipped to suffer well? If you want to learn how, stay with me.
Thanks for joining us for this Tuesday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international teaching and discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drury. Today, Chip continues his series, A Priceless Christmas, by suggesting a gift idea I can pretty well guarantee you've never thought of. Here's a question, though. Wouldn't you like to know you're giving a gift that'll be absolutely perfect when the time comes? Now, if you stick with us for the next 20 minutes, you're going to learn exactly how to do that. So let's get going and join Chip for part two of his message from 1 Peter chapter 2, Teach Them to Suffer Well.
The priceless gift that you can give those you love this Christmas is this: help them to learn to grow through their suffering. You can't put a price tag on that. It'll be worth whatever gift. You could fill that box with fresh $100 bills and stack it tightly, and I'll guarantee that at the end of the day, that will have far less impact long term on the people you love the most than if you could give them the gift of teaching them to suffer well. And so with that, number one, here's how to do it. Teach them to identify what they're concerned about. When we suffer, some of us, denial, avoidance, repression, those defense mechanisms, it's the number one way we all respond to suffering and difficulty. It's hard to face it. So you want to help them learn to think about it. You want to help them learn to talk about it. You want to get them literally to write it down. I never kept a journal, and early in my Christian life, I was probably 2 years in as a Christian, and my dad and mom were going through horrendous times. My dad's alcoholism came to a point in time that, you know, I still remember my mother saying, it's this bottle or me and the kids. Now, my spiritual leader, who was a real important person in my life, he moved. We had a basketball coaching change. I had a scholarship with the old coach, and the new coach came in and said, I'm going to do tryouts. I mean, everything in my life went to, what's going on? The girlfriend that I thought that I would marry. I mean, all four of these things, boom, 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 they're gone. And what I realized is I was angry, and I was bitter, and I was resentful, and I was mad at God, and I was mad at the coach, and I was mad at my parents. And I couldn't get it clear. I remember getting one of those little spiral notebooks, and I'm just going to start writing down at least how I feel. And that started about a 30-some-year journey. If you write it down, you have to get clear. And if you can't identify what bothers you, you can't deal with it. You can't respond to it. And so with your kids or with people in your small group, the way to help them identify is ask good questions. And for some of you, don't try and fix it so quickly. Don't try and avoid the pain for them. Don't step in front and make sure that this never happens to them again. Ask them questions like, what are you feeling right now? What do you wish you could change? Or if it's relational and you can just tell something's wrong, who's your best friend? What do you like about them? Because all you want to do is you want to start them thinking and talking about relationships. Who hurt you? You begin to ask questions, and then you listen. You want to help them identify what's going on. Because here's what I can tell you happens in your homes. I mean, Teresa and I think we went to a year of counseling to start to get this. When there was a problem with me, I would shove it down. She would shove it down. And so many of you in your homes, it goes like this. One of you is kind of funky. You know, you withdraw a little bit. You're sitting on the chair, watching a little TV. Paper goes up. Or you're cold with your affection, and your mate says something like this, honey, what's wrong? And the response that they get is, nothing. No, tell me, honey, I can tell. What's wrong? Nothing. And then you go to bed, and one rolls this way, and the other rolls this way. And then this journey starts. You know why? Because when you were a kid, no one taught you to suffer well. And to suffer well, you have to identify what's going on And because it's so painful and because you blame people and we bolt to anger, it's a secondary emotion. And so we bolt to anger, we bolt to blame, we bolt to resentment, and it causes all kind of stuff inside of you. Addictions get born out of that. And so you want to help people early on to just identify, I feel hurt. I feel betrayed. I feel used. I feel like God isn't fair. I feel sad. That's where you start. And when you do, it's one of the greatest gifts you'll give. The second thing is to pray honestly about it together. I would encourage you to read the book of Job or read through the Psalms. See, here's what happens. Our kids go through something and someone makes fun of them at school or something bad happens, like they didn't make the team or they have a big breakup, or especially when they're small, we tell them really crazy things like, oh, that's okay. It doesn't really matter. It'll be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Says who? Maybe everything's not going to be okay. See, what you want to do is you want to help them identify, I'm sad, I'm angry, I'm hurt, they said this about me, I was betrayed. Daddy, he said that he loved me, and I found out he went out with this other girl, and then I found out he slept with her. He said he was a Christian. You know, I can't understand it. You know, I got laid off, and there's three people there that came after me, and I had seniority, but you, that needs to get on the table, and then you need to take that to God. And you need to have honest prayers. Honest prayers go something like this. Job, what in the heck's going on? I'm righteous. I've walked with you. It doesn't make sense. I'm angry. I'm hurt. I was faithful. Now, my kids have been killed. My riches are gone. My house caved in. My friends are turning against me. What is going on? Your kids need to learn to pray. God can take that. You read some of those lament psalms, and I mean, David just lays it out there. Jot down this Psalm 145, 18. The Lord is near to those who call upon him, to those who call upon him in truth. See, you need to have times with your little boys and your little girls and your young adults where you get it on the table. This is what's going on. And then you say, let's talk to God about this. And then don't pray one of those little Sunday school prayers. Oh, dear Jesus, we thank thee that thou is in control of all that goeth and all that cometh. Help us to feeleth better about all these things and make it better soon. Amen. It's interesting how many times in Scripture that when God sees tears and hearts that are broken, he's near to the brokenhearted and those that are crushed in spirit. And your kid need to hear you say, God, I don't get this, and my heart's broken, and I couldn't be more angry. And I know you're in control, but I don't see it right now, and we need you to show up. Because what you want is you want the Spirit of God and the living God to come take up residence in the midst of the pain and the difficulty and the hurt, and he wants to move into that, and he wants you to know that there really wasn't any person or anything that could ever satisfy. He'll be there with you. Jesus' promise was not to the disciples, it's going to be great. His promise is, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. We have so skewed our theology in this day. Jesus is not the self-help genie to make your life or your kids' lives work. He is the solemn, sovereign creator of the universe that has a purpose, who's invited us to join him, who is all-wise, absolutely holy, absolutely just, holy and pure. And he says, I will be with you. And in the midst of your difficulty and pain in a fallen world, I will take these things and I'll mold these things and I'll shape these things in such a way that you know me like never before and that you're transformed from the inside out. And like a grain of wheat falling into the earth, it dies and then it brings forth much fruit. He modeled that for us. He was rejected. He was spit upon. And yet, that's why when you come, Jesus understands. Third, help them share where they're suffering with someone they trust. Sometimes as a parent, or maybe sometimes it's in a small group, it's an older man an older woman, someone who's been around the block. There's no substitute for talking with someone that's been where you've been through, and they've suffered well through it. At other times, it's a peer. You know, it's just, you know, you need to help them get with people, or you need to get with people that, you know, they're just on the same page, and they can share honestly what's going on and process it. And then there's other times where, you know what, it's a professional counselor or a pastor because you're stuck. I sat with a good friend that I was going to meet with, and my goal of our meeting was to kind of share some things with him that he always gives me really great perspective. And I just asked him sort of in passing as I got my coffee and sat down, so, hey, tell me a little bit about how's it going? And the next 70% of our time, I got to enter into a very special, painful journey as he just marked the anniversary of the death of his son that's been just a year. And I just sat with tears flowing down my face and thought, you know, I don't think about the loss that people experience during the holidays. I'm not attuned to what it's like that it was this time last year that your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister got cancer, or you lost your job, or you lost your company. And this holiday season, yeah, it's the bright, you know, we hear all the nice songs, and there's a whole groups of people that this is the most difficult time of the year. And he said, you know, I've read a lot about grief, and we go way back, so we can be absolutely honest. You talk about raw. And he goes, I remember one quote that was so helpful. He says, I read recently that a grief shared is divided in half. And all I want you to hear is an awful lot of teaching people to suffer well is to do life with them and listen and be there, or get them to someone they feel comfortable to really talk to that's mature. The final way, and maybe the most important after the first three, are help them align their specific scripture with their specific situation. And here, I want to press you just a little bit, because we're living in a day where the Bible, even in Bible churches, has become sort of like, oh yeah, this is kind of good, and you know, there's notes here, and there's PowerPoint on the screen, and you know, I go to a Bible study here, and I get a booklet, and in the booklet, a lot of the passages are there. There is a need for you to be able to sit with your child or someone in your small group when they're suffering. What you need to do is you need to be able to open this book and take them to, this is the issue you're facing, this is the truth, because truth sets them free. It's not just listening and counseling and identifying and sharing. They need the truth. It's the power. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and He makes it living, and He does something in them when they can base it on truth. So to suffer well, you need to understand these are the reasons that people suffer. And here's the promise that you need to take them to. The first one, I gave these to you, and I did this not to overwhelm you, but your kids are going to go through these. And these are passages that you need to know well. The first one is when they suffer because of external negative circumstances, James 1, 2 to 4. I mean, when tough stuff happens, they say, what am I going to do? I mean, it was a brand new car. The tree fell. It ruined my car. I don't have transportation. And you're going to open the Bible after you've listened and gone through it all and say, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect or maturing result. You might be perfect, lacking in nothing. And you can say, you know, stuff's going to happen, but our attitude, our choice, we consider it God's in control. And if you need wisdom, He's going to show you what to do in this. He's going to show you, honey, how you can make it through this. And they're going to have to learn at some point in time, or they'll blame someone or go into denial. The second is persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12. You know, some of your kids, they're bold, they don't know better, and they're going to identify with Jesus in third or fourth grade, and they're going to get ridiculed. And what you don't want to do is put your arms, oh, they're all wrong, honey, or you know what, I'm going to go talk to the principal, I'm going to talk to the teacher, what are you doing to my son? How about this? What if you open the Bible and you said to him, all those who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's that passage. And then maybe go back to the Sermon on the Mount, and you say, you know, sweetheart, I know that's really hard when people do that to you. But here's what Jesus said, blessed are you when you're persecuted for my sake. And you begin to teach them that it's not about being protected, that there's a cost and there's a price and He'll be with you. You're teaching them to suffer well. The third is bad choices. There's times where, You know, our kids, like us, they do sinful things. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. It says, God will not be mocked. We're going to reap what we sow. When we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. When we sow to the spirit, life and peace. You know, there's times where you say, well, here's the deal. You got in that car with those people, and one of them was drinking, and you got in the wreck, and you knew you weren't supposed to, and here's the implications, and that's what happened. And you take them to that passage, and you say, you know, we're always going to reap what we sow. And you read it, and you let them own it. And you don't yell, and you don't scream, and why were you doing that? And what, like, has that worked for you before? And then you take them to 1 John 1:9, and you say, you know what, we can get back on the right track right now. God promises if we confess our sins, he's faithful, he's just. He'll forgive and he'll cleanse. Right now. Do you understand? If you're going to teach your kids to suffer well, they need to begin to see his truth and his word as the bedrock in a fallen world where life is unfair and disappointing and betrayal happens. Because the Jesus who walked on the earth was treated very unfairly and was betrayed at every turn. And it's the Father and the Spirit and him living as fully human and yet fully divine, blazing a trail saying, follow me. And as you do, I'll do things in you and through you. But it's rooted in truth. The fourth is spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. You know, there's times where your kids or someone in your small group, they are just, I mean, they're taking great steps and literally all hell breaks loose. And immediately, what have I done wrong or what's with God? And you need to let them know you're in a battle. I mean, you started a Bible study at school. I mean, you've gone public with your faith. You've decided to get in God's word on a regular basis. You've taken a step of real faith with your resources and your finances. Guess what? When you begin to break out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, there's a battle going on. This is normal. And so you teach them about and how to do spiritual warfare. The last one here is character development. There's times where, just like good earthly fathers, your heavenly Father sees things in your life and my life in the heart of your kids, right? Envy, arrogance, selfishness, a little narcissistic consumerism mindset. Well, in God's kindness and love, he actually is bringing some circumstances like the velvet vice of love to build their character, to make them like his son. And so Hebrews 12:11 says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, but afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. You know what the life message here is? I mean, here's the gift. You say, okay, Chip, you know, you've said a lot of different things and a theology of suffering, and you said we need to help them identify it, and then we need to pray honestly, and you know, okay, I'm kind of getting that. And if I could say, learning to suffer well, here's the gift. Your kids, people in your small group, they grow up with this. Suffering is normal. That is the absolute antithesis of what most of your children or young Christians and often not so young Christians believe. We are absolutely shocked when things go wrong. What did I do? God, what's the deal? If you don't think suffering is normal, you set your child up or you set yourself up to be devastated. How many people have you heard say something like this? Well, if God loves me, why did he let this happen? Anybody heard that? If God really loves me, why did he let this happen? And if he let this happen, what kind of God is that? Or how could God let this happen? I mean, isn't he all powerful? How could he let this happen to me? Or how can I ever trust a God that I prayed and I asked him and I didn't get in that school. I didn't make the team. I didn't get the girl. I didn't get the job. He didn't heal the cancer. I want you to know there are masses of young people out of our homes and often many of their parents and those that are new in the faith that because they don't know suffering is normal, they believe that God didn't come through, God doesn't love them, God isn't in control, and because what they've really learned and picked up is that if you're a nice little boy or girl, Jesus is your self-help genie, and if you just do the formula right on the big vending machine of life, A2, B4, C7, that your life is just up, 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 wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And the fact of the matter is, nothing could be farther from the truth. Teach your children to suffer well. Can I put one verse sort of as the bow on this? You can just jot it down. I'll quote it for you. It's Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. It says, in the days of his flesh, this isn't the cross, in the days of his flesh, Jesus walking upon the earth, he made loud cries with tears and supplication to his heavenly Father. Did you think of that side of Jesus? The side of Jesus that, you know, he had feelings, just he was fully human. He went to his hometown, he's rejected. How do you think he felt? People didn't believe. How do you think he felt? He did a miracle and they don't respond. How do you think he felt? They're trying to kill him. How do you think he felt? He pours out his life to Judas and he sells him out. How do you think he felt? Jesus went alone many times and in tears cried out to his heavenly Father as he suffered. His great suffering wasn't just on the cross. And then verse 8, although he was a son, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Your kids need to learn to obey and trust God. And this is an undesired gift. But the undesired gift of learning to suffer well may be one of the five most precious things you ever give your kids.
Chip will be right back. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And Chip's message today, Teach Them to Suffer Well, is from his series, A Priceless Christmas. In these five messages, you'll learn what God's Word says about handling money, making wise choices, suffering well, working unto the Lord, and that failure is never final. As a parent or grandparent, you want to give your child every advantage in life. This series, A Priceless Christmas, gives you the tools you need to help your child develop godly character in all of these areas. So why not order a set of CDs or download the free MP3s as a gift to yourself and your family for an amazing new year of growth in the Lord? For discount details, just visit us online at livingontheedge.org or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. A Priceless Christmas. Get it today. Well, Chip, I know you've got a powerful application for us in just a minute, but before we get there, you've pastored for over 30 years. Now, when you look at the landscape of America, what's your deepest concern?
Well, Dave, I have to tell you, the thing that keeps me up at night is that I'm not just a pastor, I'm a father.
Mm.
And I'm not just a father, I'm a grandfather. I have 12 grandchildren. And I have one that's only 1 year old, and I have one that just got their driver's license. And so I got a lot of grandfathering to do, and I look at the world that my grandchildren are living in, and then I look at the church, I look at the culture, I look at technology, I look at the moral confusion, and here's what I will tell you. There is a generation to rescue. We can blame a lot of people. We can Facebook. We can tell everyone what's wrong, who ought to do what and why, but I will tell you this. We need to positively step in and rescue a generation that's getting so many mixed messages. And we at Living on the Edge are absolutely committed to being a catalyst to that happening in America. We're going to focus in 2020 on identity issues head on, who you are in Christ. What's it mean to be a little girl or not so little girl? A little boy or not so little boy? What does the Bible actually say? What does the research actually tell us? How do you have great relationships when you're bombarded by confusing messages about LGBT, transgender, and you're a parent, a grandparent, or a pastor, and you don't have tools to answer those questions? We're going to hit all of those head on, and we're going to do it in what I believe is the calling of Living on the Edge. We're going to do it with gentleness, with reverence. We're going to bring light, not heat,
but we're going to tell the truth, and we're going to give tools to people to get through this, to be strong, to be courageous, to be bold, and to be loving in that context. This is a battle, and this isn't a physical battle. This is a spiritual battle. We're talking about the souls of kids. We're talking about a culture that is at a tipping point that's going to go one or two directions. God's word is powerful. When Christians live like Christians, it's powerful, but it's hard. We're putting a target on our back. And I'm just asking, would you join us? We don't have to resign ourselves that, well, this is the way the world is going. We can make a difference. God has always raised up a small group of people that are willing to step out and trust him. And then he works in supernatural ways. Here's my question. Will you join the battle with us?
Well, if you're already praying and supporting the ministry of Living on the Edge, thank you. We couldn't do what we do without you. And if you're ready to step up and join us or increase your commitment, today would be a great day to do it. Thanks to a small group of financial partners, every gift we receive between now and December 31st will be doubled. Now, if you've been looking for a way to make a difference, this is your opportunity. And right now, your gift will have twice the impact. Now, to send a donation, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. That's 1-888-333-6003. Or if you prefer, donate online at livingontheedge.org. On behalf of Chip and the team here, thank you in advance for your generosity. Well, now, here's Chip.
As we close today's program, let's just stop for a minute. Let's pause. Keep your eyes on the road if you're driving, but let's kind of disengage from information and noise and just ask ourselves, what are you really facing? Or what's one of your kids really facing? Or maybe it's a mom and dad with cancer or Alzheimer's, and you heard words about suffering and Bible and truth and knowledge, but the fact of the matter is, it's really, really hard. And the only resource, the only possibility to suffer well is to know that there is a God who is good, a God who is in control, a God who is all wise, and he loves you. And he loves the people that you care about that are suffering. And so right now, together, before we go on, before the day goes any farther, we're going to ask you, Holy, Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you bring life and comfort and perspective and endurance, and for some, just the perseverance to keep on hanging on, to believe and trust in your goodness. And God, I pray that you do something deep inside of us. Help us to draw near to you. Help us not to waste this suffering. And Lord, thank you that a day is coming when you will return and you will make all wrongs right and suffering will end because of what the Lord Jesus has done on the cross and his resurrection and preparing a place for us even today. Amen.
You know, an easy way to hear this message again would be to download the Chip Ingram app. You'll have free access to Chip's teaching, his message notes, and much more. Not only that, but it couldn't be easier to email or give us a call right from the app. To download the Chip Ingram app, just go to the App Store or Google Play. We'll be with us again tomorrow when we continue our current series. For Chip and everyone here, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.